Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
He had a great summer. He looks good, ton of work in the summer, and then as he was ramping up, kind of getting that closer to game mode, call it, and he'll get closer to training camp, he just started having some pain. Without going into the weeds too much, he was just not able to, probably the right way to say it would be to be strong and push and the stuff that he needs to do. So obviously did imaging and a lot of doctors involved, and the imaging's clean, which is the good news. So they're just trying to do some rehab and figure out exactly how to get him over the hump. So, you know, he's kind of in that day-to-day mode. It could be a little longer. We'll know probably more over the next few days exactly where he's at. But it's encouraging over, I'd say, the last, you know, 3 or 4 days.
First day of training camp for the Buffalo Sabres, the general manager, Kevin Adams, addressing number one, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and his recent tweak and how long, or not, he may be sidelined. 61 players at camp this year, so a tip of the cap to Maxim Finneganoff, Nikita Zadorov, Andre Benoit, and Riley Stillman as we celebrate 61 who are participating, although there's three that aren't of full health right now. Luukkonen, of course, Alex Tuch, who's in kind of a day-to-day window, and Jordan Greenway, who won't be ready for the start of the season.
Okay, so 58, let's just see. So I'm going to quick look here. Who are the three players that were the number 58? Duffer, if you were ever to get that, I think...
Did Shahura wear it?
You have one. Paul Shahura. So that's one of them, and there's two more, and we're looking at 2009 and 2020. And I don't know how you get, you may get one, but I don't know how you get both of them.
Well, I'm not going to belabor the point for the audience, so
Tim Kennedy in 2009.
Oh, yeah. Well, so that should have been obvious. Oh.
John Gilmore.
Oh, so I have a John Gilmore story. So I
was going to say, I don't even know, like... So, John Gilmore, I don't recall John Gilmore
much. Did he get in any games with the Sabres?
He got four games and played an average of 17 minutes per game in the what was the COVID shortened season, the 19-20 season.
Right, but he was nowhere near COVID. He was early in the year. COVID came way later. It was not connected in any way to John Gilmore, who he had a good camp. Good skater. You know, obviously there wasn't any expectation he was going to make the team, but my interaction with him was amazing because I was in the dressing room one day, just kind of quietly minding my own business. And he's a pretty quiet guy too. And he goes, "Did you used to work at NHL Network?"
Oh my gosh.
And he might be the last one that could have remembered, you know, because that was like 7-8 years on from it. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to run into too many people that are young in an NHL room that are going to be able to remember that. So it was,
he was probably like, he's 32 now. So we're talking 5 years ago, he's 27 or so. Like, I'm not saying an older guy, but maybe he remembers the old version of NHL Network. And I'd seen you on there. So that's awesome.
All right. But so numerical trivia.
Air's trivia, 61 to 58. Like that's a big number.
And then they got to get it down to 23. So yes. Everything you learned today, what do you think it's going to look like on opening night?
Okay, well, I think that the biggest news, like the first thing when Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff talked to the media today, that was going to be on the agenda was going to be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, right? Mm-hmm. So what have I learned about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and his opening night availability? Nothing. Nothing, because I don't think anybody knows, right? They're saying, well, he's day-to-day. But it could be a little longer. We don't know yet, right? So it is lower body, and it is something that he feels when he's pushing, as Kevin Adams said. Like when he's trying to push, he feels a limitation, right? A tweak of some sort. But everything else, in the gym, walking around, doing everyday stuff, there's no problem. So this is a very specific type of situation when you're, you know, players that, like skaters, for example, sometimes they can skate around, they can do everything, and then all of a sudden they go for a burst of speed and they're like, can't go there, right? And then it's like about managing it, about trying to strengthen the area, trying to take that restriction slowly but surely away. And when you're a goaltender, you can go through a full practice and being fine in all the movements that you're doing. And then the one movement is like, oh, I can't do that. So do you want to push it in games or not? No, you have to wait until you're ready. But I don't think anybody really knows if this is going to... I think what they're probably going to do is, you know, kind of try some treatments, some things this week, see where he is after the weekend, and then decide what is the best course of action. So they don't know. So that's the number one question, Duffer. I'm like, okay, so I still don't know who's starting on opening night.
Okay, well, let's just... There's no... Like, I'm not trying to draw a comparison because we don't have clarity on exactly what's bothering him. Yeah. But you played the position. Did you ever experience a time where you had something that was relatively small in nature, imaging didn't show anything, but that you had to either A, not play through, or B, found a way to have to play through with maybe a sense of relief in the back of your mind that eventually you get to a point where you know it's not going to get worse?
Yeah, so I think goalies that are extremely flexible deal with that a lot more than goalies that were absolutely as stiff like I was. Like my body had such limitations that it wasn't able to get past sometimes to pull a muscle or to kind of aggravate something. But like Mikko Noronen, I remember Noronen was extremely flexible. Well, yeah, sometimes the hips or the knees or the groin are being stretched to a place where the body has no limitation. So I think we're seeing that more and more with today's goaltending, where everybody is extremely flexible, that they have some tweaks here and there. But I do recall a time in Philly, about halfway into my second season, I think, my hip was bothering me in a game. I played the game after the game. I laid on the table. The doctor looked at me. He's doing things. He goes, come to my office tomorrow. Probably going to have to be surgery. Your season's probably over. And I'm like freaking out. Like, I'm like, what? Like, what? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I felt okay. Like, I'm like, yeah. So my trainer's like, you know what? How about we do this? How about you come in tomorrow and we go through some treatments and we see where you are at and we'll kind of adjust. And he goes, there's many different things in between now and surgery. It could be some injections, there could be some acupuncture, there could be some treatments, whatever. Like we'll figure it out. I was almost in tears. I was like, I've never gotten hurt in my career, and now this guy's telling me I need hip surgery. Yeah. And I'm out 6 to 9 months. Like, come on, right? And sure enough, the next day, treatment, day off. The next day, went on the ice on my own just to like feel it. It was feeling good, but I didn't push, right? I didn't push it. And 3 days later, I was at a place where I was probably 90%, 95%. My body knew its limitation, but I was fine. But Duffer, can you imagine, like, your first impression, your doctor's telling you, after you felt a tweak, your season's over, you're going to have surgery. And a hip surgery is not an easy surgery. So I was completely freaked out.
Have you had it since?
No.
No?
No. Never had any problems, ever. The only injury I suffered while playing was a broken collarbone.
Right.
And this is like basically, okay, we know that the collarbone will be probably healed in 10 to 12 weeks and, you know, may stretch out to 15 weeks, but that's what it is. And I didn't need surgery. But again, like with Luukkonen, that's why it feels like it's a soft tissue, right? Because when they talk about tweaks and stuff like that, this is not bone. Like, he didn't all of a sudden suffer a broken bone that, no, you would know. Imaging would tell you, you would know. So this is soft tissue, and they'll kind of manage it. But I'll be interested to see, like, middle of next week where we are. I think we'll get a better answer middle of next week when it comes to Luukkonen.
A week from today is the middle of next week, and we'll be two games into the preseason at that point, having started on Monday in Columbus and returning home to KeyBank Center the following night on the Tuesday. And I do want you to answer the question, and we can collectively do that. What's the 23-man roster going to look like on opening night? But based on the Luukkonen topic being the first question, what did you also glean / interpret out of the mouths of Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff as it pertains to the goaltending with an unknown right now in Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen?
All right, you gotta keep pucks out of your net. They talked about defensive play, but
please don't say that. Those are things I know. They don't.
But I did some numbers yesterday, Duffer. So in the standings, because we know the standings and the actual goals against don't mirror each other, because they'll give you goals against when you lose in a shootout. But let's just look at the standings. The Sabres gave up 289 goals in the standings last year, right? The Montreal Canadiens made the playoffs with 265. So there was, you know, 20 less goals. That was still a lot of goals.
That's 21 goal wins in some cases.
It could be. It could be like one goal wins. And Lindy Ruff said 78% of the games end in one goal or two goals with an empty net, right? Mm-hmm. So 20 goals can make a big difference in that. But not only that, the next team that made the playoffs had given up 236. Mm-hmm. That is 50 goals less, right? Seven of the eight teams in the East that made the playoffs gave up 50 or more goals less than the Sabres. That's more than a half a goal a game. Mm-hmm. Like, your number was way too high, and thinking to get to 230, that's a big undertaking, but maybe you can get to 255 or 260 and still make it like the Canadians did at 265 last year. So that was the thing. That was
Not to dumb it down, but like, the goal has to be 240 for just about any team, so that you're right around the three goals against. Like, I think that's still like a fair barometer in a league where we're starting to see the numbers inch up a little bit, you know, compared to the 920 save percentages and 2.05 goals against. Like,
Calgary had 238 last year. They didn't make it, but they were right
there. They couldn't score.
But 251 was the next closest, and they didn't make it either.
They were going to be historic in their limited ability to score had they made the playoffs. So, yeah.
And that's why, like, I don't think, like, Kevin Adams talked about replacing the Peturco goals. He's like, it's not about that. We have enough offense. It's
about. You haven't answered the goalie question.
So the goalie question was what again? Because I went into a tangent.
What did you learn about what we're likely to see in the goaltending? Who's ahead of who? How do you see it playing out if Luukkonen's out for any time here?
Well, I feel like the one guy that they talked most about was Georgiev, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's the newcomer.
Exactly.
And can I say maybe this was a good thing that Luukkonen tweaked a little bit? Because the more and more I think about it, the more and more you are always an injury away from being in a bad spot, right?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, but if Luukkonen is hurt and you had Lyon and Levi, I'm not as confident as I would be if it is Luukkonen and Levi, hoping that Luukkonen gets back. But I still have my doubt with Luukkonen. So now I'm like, okay, what if this doesn't work out by middle of October? Mm-hmm. I think adding Georgiev was maybe a bit of a blessing for the depth. Knowing that there's always injuries that, you know, we've seen, you know, guys in all organizations having to go down to the number three, the number four, the number five to play games, right?
Right.
So that happens all the time with everybody.
I don't think that I would agree with you in the sense of, you know, they could get to a real tough spot real quickly, because I think there are a whole bunch of goalies like him, let's say Georgiev, around the league. We just talked about Fedotov, right? Like, if you get in an injury crunch, okay, throw a sixth round pick to Columbus, rescue him out of Cleveland, and
there will be waivers too at the end of camp.
What's that?
There will be waivers too at the end of camp.
Well, this
and
is
there
the point
be a
is
flood
they had
waivers.
Reimer last year, lost him, and then got felt obligated to bring him back, and he was available. Like, so I don't think it's ever as dire. Obviously, it's not how you map it out, but I think those types of players exist in other, like, oh my goodness. Like, let me rant about Ville Husso getting a 2-year deal in Anaheim for no reason other than to soak up life in San Diego. Like, he's going to be available if somebody needs him.
Yeah. And there will be tons of news. Like, as producer Jeff just puts in our chat, that Mackenzie Blackwood has a lower body week to week, expected to be ready around the beginning of the season. I mean, that's now, what is Colorado going to do? Like, are they going to just
go get Connor Ingram?
Maybe, but Connor Ingram is not going to be at Utah Mammoth Camp because they want to find him a new place to be. Also, Utah has been rumored to be in the Carter Hart. Maybe, you know,
even
contract
though they
signing
added
Vitek
Vanacek in the offseason to back up their number one. Vimelka.
Exactly. So there, you're right that there is always a flood of goaltenders that go through waivers that could be available. Teams are like, what do we do with our third goalie? We'll
Look
take a
New
six
Jersey.
Round pick. And yeah,
you
exactly.
tell me you couldn't get Nico Daws out of there in a pinch if you had to.
They got Markstrom and Allen, and they got him for now.
They're not going to ask for a first round pick
no.
for Nico Daws in a pinch, you know? So
no, but is Nico Daws a better goaltender than Georgiev? And now do you start measuring, like, who do you like?
I don't even measure them, because Georgiev had such a tough year last year, and you were willing to bring him in based off a tough year. I think critical evaluation, which is what the hockey department is constantly doing, is going to have members of that department believe in certain guys that other teams haven't believed in. That's the whole carousel of 800 players a year finding their way into an end.
And you have a list of young prospect, mid-20s guys, you know, late guys, that older guys that you can always look for. Montreal signed Kaapo Kähkönen.
Correct. And he looked like he would never get back to the NHL.
Yeah, exactly. So you're right that I think that was, I'm not going to say that was a little premature. I think that Kevin Adams and the Sabres wanted to say, we are taking care of this before training camp starts. We want to give everybody a chance to have time to prepare and be with the group and play preseason games. And that's why they did the Georgiev now instead of waiting later. And Lindy Ruff mentioned, you know, and Kevin Adams did as well, there's going to be a hard camp, not a punishment, but we need to raise the level. And the guys that are here need to be here and be part of it so you can start the season the right way. I think that's the reason why they did Georgiev then as opposed to wait. They wanted him here to be part of camp right away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't disagree with the idea and the reasoning behind bringing him in. My only point was, don't ever think it's as bad as, you know, an injury situation. I get it. Nobody wants to go through it.
But the Flyers did Michael Layton and Brian Boucher, right, in a year where they had lost Ray Emery and lost basically all their goalies.
Look at what we've seen with Carolina the last couple of years. I know. Spencer Martin had to play. Dustin Tokarski had to play. You know, number one guy has often been hurt there, and Freddie Anderson. You know, you go to Kochetkov, but they have this long list seemingly of guys that they've been able to draw upon. Now Caden Primo is in their system, right? Again, same type of thing. He has NHL games. But anyway, belaboring the point.
The rest of the roster is not so much belaboring the point is that that's the focus. The focus was, can Luukkonen get back to where he was second half of 2 years ago, where he was in the best metrics of all goaltenders in the National Hockey League. And can the Sabres keep the puck out of their net, either by adding Kesselring or signing Bo Byram or strengthening the defense or changing their approach or just getting better goaltending. Mm-hmm. And now that's the focal point of this whole training camp going. But again, training camp is training camp. Do it in the regular season.
Do you think that once we get through training camp and the six preseason games, you're going to feel like there is clarity and certainty among the six defensemen who will be starting opening night? Or do you suspect that it's going to be a constant mix and match?
I think we're going to have more clarity and certainty, maybe more when it comes to the top four. I everything that they've talked about today was finding a right shot D partner for Owen Power. And now they did open the door by saying, well, it also can mix and match, right? Depends on the situation. Are you ahead? Are you behind? What do you do? But for me, the right now on Wednesday, the 17th, is Dahlin, Byram, and Power and Kesselring. It seems to be trending that way. But, you know, we could see some changes. But I feel that at the end of training camp, that will be solidified for like, hey, this is how we're going to start the season. Play the Rangers. That's our top four. It's not going to be like, oh, Duffer, I don't know. I don't know if Kesselring and Power had it in preseason. And I don't know what you do now if you have to maybe, you know, change and put Power with Dahlin. Like, I feel that this is going to be the top four, and those two pairs are going to be together by the sound of things.
Let me ask it a different way. Who's the biggest wild card among the defense group?
I'm going to say it's Kesselring.
Really?
Just because, yeah.
I think they already believe in him.
I believe in him, but it's still a wild card. Like, what type of game does he bring, and how does that affect Owen Power? Because we all think Owen, I think that the projection of Owen Power, every single one of you guys, I can read your minds. I can read everybody's mind right now. But the projection was Owen Power's the number one overall pick. So there's going to be a ton of offense and a ton of skating, and he's going to take over games by his puck playing ability, his playmaking, his control, and all of it. I haven't seen that, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen more of a tentative Owen Power that has not been able to get his footing right. Could it become what we've expected him to become? Yes. But what if Kesselring all of a sudden is a guy that takes more chance offensively, that has more of the puck, that is joining the rush? How does that affect Owen Power? Maybe now we're seeing him just become a steady, stay-at-home type of defenseman, and we're working more on this side of the game. So I think Kesselring is probably more the wild card. I had an inkling of saying Matthias Samuelsson. Yes, because thank you. All of a sudden,
that was my bingo card.
That is a bingo card.
That's such a lie. I don't play bingo. I have no interest in it. Whatever. So.
Maybe we'll have to do that on the broadcast. I'm going to print bingo card, and you and I will have to stamp things that will happen in the game.
Like fans sitting in first row has drink spilled in lap after thunderous Samuelsson hit.
Yes, that will be one. Or fans sitting right below our set has a 2 foot long nachos that I'm smelling and I become hungry.
Or fan in 300 level looks down upon us, sends a picture and says, are you sharing a pant leg?
Yeah, no, oh. That happens as well. But yeah, okay, so we'll play bingo. But okay, so I feel Kesselring with his impact on maybe power in the top four, but you say ding, ding, ding with the, you know, I got it, you know, with Samuelsson, but I felt like it was just an easy answer and I didn't really have anything to add, but what do you see?
Well, but in all fairness, I'm perhaps just absorbing what many people have observed and shared, you know, to us on social, whatever, that even after all this time as a pro, I think people and probably the player himself want to really prove what he can do for a full season in the NHL.
Yeah.
And what if we get 82 full games of the best version of Matthias Samuelsson? Like, I think at his best, the perception of the hockey department and his coaches has always been high belief of what he can be. Now, it doesn't feel like there's as much room in the moment when viewing the top four, but Lindy Ruff made a pretty heavy emphasis on all six. And yes. In that regard, that's why I think Samuelsson is still, I'm reluctant to say the word unknown, but I do think it's a bit of a wild card just based on like games played. And if you
didn't
get them,
you feel though, Duffer, that when Lindy Ruff said, I didn't have a great handle on the players at the start of the year, and I thought I knew about them and I was wrong. Like, and we know that last year was critical of Dylan Cousins and then he gets traded. Critical of Tage Thompson playing center. So if they can't play, I think that the first person I thought about when he said, I thought I knew about the players when I came in and I was wrong about a few of them. I feel like Matthias Samuelsson was one that was probably in the, I was wrong about him. I feel like Lindy has much higher expectations of what he saw out of Matthias Samuelsson. Mm-hmm. Well, at being able to match the expectation at some point, I think we're all hoping so. But I feel like when Lindy said that, my head started ringing Samuelsson when that bell was ringing.
Well, Jeff Skinner famously asked Matthias Samuelsson once, why do you have a goal song? Well, the Sabres have a goal song, and it's in concrete for the black and red games.
Yes.
We need your help. This is us soliciting your input for the goal song this year in the blue and gold games. So fans, just go to sabres.com/goal song. Tell us what you think would make the ultimate goal song inside KeyBank Center for the majority of the home games this year. Again, it's sabres.com/goal song to make your submission today. Thank you, as always, to Jeff Skinner for one of the wonderful player-to-player questions we've ever heard. We're back after
that
this.
That was awesome.
On Sabres Live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.